This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley. Today, it's all about Oregon State University Extension Service. Agents Logan Bennett and Alicia Christensen. Starting out with Logan today. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, overall, just remind people, because there's always somebody new or somebody asking that missed the memo. Tell us about what Extension does and some of the many programs.
For sure. So the Extension Service exists to provide science-backed education to folks in the community. And we spend a lot of time putting on classes, helping folks with site visits. And we've got a lot of different program areas, too. So forestry, forages and livestock, agriculture, and food education as well.
And Extension has been around for how long?
Oh, a long time. Over 100 years. We came around shortly after the Hatch Act. So we've been around for a while.
And if you remember the Hatch Act, it's probably unlikely that you're currently listening.
That might be true.
Though you may have heard about it. But that goes way back. It was really a perceived need at that time and kind of a way to help folks out. Well, as you have moved along throughout 100 years, now you've been there how many years?
So I've been with Extension since early 2022.
All right. So let's talk about summer agriculture in Douglas County. I mean, the last week, the weather's really shifted. You go outside and it's really got a different vibe to it, which means whether it's farmers, whether it's the vineyard owners, whether it's home gardeners, people are starting to get out and really get to it.
Absolutely. Like you said in your weather report, it is time. And it's a little bit, we're kind of into the season already for some crops. So for veggies, if you haven't planted your tomatoes yet, now's the time to do it. We should be, depending on what variety you're growing, you should probably be seeding corn. And we're getting stuff into the ground. And for the permanent crops like grapes, we're already pretty well into the season. We're either at the end of flowering or starting to do fruit formation. And this is a really important time to make sure that things are going well in your grapes. Blueberries are already starting to get to blush, so they go from green to kind of a pink color before they turn blue. And in a lot of varieties that are early varieties, we're already starting to see that. So, and we're even getting towards nut development and hazelnuts already too. So we're in the full swing of things.
Now for tomatoes, how long does it take to grow tomatoes?
Good question. Kind of depends on the variety you're growing. Some will stay green all the way up until almost fall time here. But depending on the variety, if you're like doing cherries, we could be harvesting mid to late July.
And what about crops that people can grow, you know, two sets of crops maybe during the growing season?
Oh, for sure. Like companion cropping.
Well, no, I was thinking in terms of something that maybe you could plant now, harvest, and then plant more of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, lettuce is a great option for that. Or radishes. Radish has a really quick turnaround. Some varieties are as low as 30 days. So you could do a double crop of that, or you could do something like different kinds of lettuce. You could start with a heading lettuce, then go to a butter lettuce or something like that, too.
Now, tomatoes seem to be one of the more popular ones to grow, right?
Oh, yeah. I planted, I think, 40 yesterday, and I'm going to go plant 100 more this afternoon.
And this is just for your own use?
No, actually, this is for a program I got coming up.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so we've got a program starting in June. It's called Boots on the Ground, Hands in the Soil. And this is a program geared towards veterans who are interested in learning how to grow agricultural crops and then preserve them, sell them, or both.
And when will that be?
Yeah, so this program is going to start in the last Friday of June. And we're going to be really kind of focusing on winter crops. We're going to go into September. But because it's starting in June, we're getting some crops in the ground now so that when the participants get out there, they've got something to work with.
And why the connection with veterans on this?
Absolutely. With the VA being here in Douglas County, we've seen a need for veteran-specific classes. And the person who approached this class topic with me is a veteran, and she had distinguished that there's a need for this particular thing.
And how do people get signed up?
Yeah, so this class is going to be, you can sign up on our website, so that's Douglas County Extension. It does cost $50, but if there's a financial barrier there, let me know. We have scholarships available.
All right, well, we're going to talk about some of the other classes coming up in a bit. It's got to go back to gardening, that kind of thing. What about vineyard owners? What's going on right now?
Yeah, so the main thing with vineyards is we're kind of in that flowering to fruit set stage. So right now you may see a bunch of little white flowers on your grapevines, or they may have already shed off and you're starting to get fruit development. So this is an important time to be watching your grapes and make sure that you're not starting to get any powdery mildew. Look for common pests like mites, see if you've got any leaf hoppers, anything like that.
Now, one of the reasons that I probably have never been successful at trying to grow any kind of crop is the fact that you can't just plant it and water it the appropriate time and then come back later. This is really like a daily hands-on thing.
Yeah, especially, well, like with vegetable crops for sure. With vineyards, it's a little bit more hands-off, but it's on scale when you're a vineyard owner. There's a lot of monitoring. You need to be in there daily checking things out, not only for watering, but also for nutrition issues and for pests.
I know a number of years ago, we had tried a couple different ways of growing tomatoes. I've got a partially shaded backyard, and I've got a recommendation about where to try it. We're fully, you know, sprinkler system, all that. And it just didn't go quite right. And then we tried another time, and I think growing tomatoes upside down on these, is that still a thing?
I mean, it happens. It's not super popular anymore, the upside down tomato baskets.
Right. And that one, when that was kind of going on, we tried that, and my wife reminded me as she left for a week-long trip in Washington, D.C., that I needed to water those every night.
Yeah.
Guess what happened?
They didn't get watered up?
It was fair week.
Oh, there you go.
I was slammed working.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see the backyard other than to let, you know, the cat out.
Right.
And she got back from Mount Vernon or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and they probably weren't so great after that.
So people like me have tried, and sometimes it makes you not want to try again. How do people get over that so they can find success?
Well, with tomatoes, the main thing isn't so much underwatering or overwatering, it's consistent watering. One of the biggest issues that we see with tomatoes is blossom end rot. And oftentimes you'll hear that that's a calcium deficiency, which it kind of is, but it's a calcium deficiency because of inconsistent watering regime. So with tomatoes, if you can kind of stick to a plan, whether it's watering in the morning or the evening, and do that consistently, you'll have a lot of success.
And what are some of the other things people ought to know about this time of year in ag here in Douglas County?
Yeah, so if you're in the permanent cropping system, a lot of things are setting their fruits right now or developing nuts. So keep an eye on that. And now is really the time we should be thinking about IPM. If you haven't put out moth traps in your apple orchards, for example, now's the time to do it. And kind of thinking about what this year is going to bring. A lot of folks I've been talking to recently have been doing crop estimates. So how much fruit do you think you're going to have? Do you have buyers for it? That kind of thing. And then for vegetables, it's time to be planting for most warm season crops. Tomatoes, peppers, squash. Might be a little bit late for beans, but you could still plant them. And then you can start thinking about what's going in afterwards. So if you've got a quick turnaround or if you've got space you're not planning to plant, think about what's going in July for your winter crops, that kind of thing.
And as well, what are you hearing in terms of projection for summer weather?
Oh, I think it's going to be a warm summer. We've had sort of a moderate rainfall right now. So in some areas, definitely not all areas, we have wetter soil than normal, which is a good thing. And then in some areas, I've been talking to folks and their soil's already bone dry. So we got to keep an eye on that. And if you're doing a crop that requires watering, definitely be keeping an eye on that because I think it's going to get warm and likely dry.
Well, and then talking to DFPA, Douglas Forest Protective Association, last week, a lot of times June still remains kind of wet.
Oh, yeah.
But this year, we're not really seeing that.
Yeah, and that's definitely something we want to keep an eye out. It can be concerning.
Because that oftentimes gives you just enough more moisture to really kind of help out through July and August, but this year doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Okay. Yeah, so if you're dry farming, we may be relying on those June rains. Otherwise, definitely keep an eye out. Maybe get the pump cleaned on the irrigation if you haven't already, that kind of thing.
All right, more with Logan Bennett, Alicia Christensen in a moment on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1, 541radio.com, 1245, a news radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow, we continue our Oregon Wine Month series. So listen for that on Inside Douglas County at 1230. In fact, that'll be our final 5 programs. This segment, we're starting out with Alicia Christensen, also an extension agent with the Oregon State University Extension Service. So how long have you been doing this?
I'm coming up on my 9-year anniversary.
How'd you get into this?
Well, I had worked in a private forestry industry and for the Forest Service after college, after getting a forestry degree, and I realized I really liked connecting with landowners and being able to help them meet their goals and their needs, and that's exactly what the Extension Service does. So,
and
happy to be here.
What, when we say landowners, what kind of size parcels of property are you talking about generally? Or
well,
how much does it vary?
Yeah, with the, there's definitely a large variance of what we see land-owning people in our county and in our state. But with my position, I'll help anybody, regardless of if you own land or not. But typically, when we think of forest landowners in Oregon, to be defined as a small forest landowner, you would own between 2 acres and 5,000 acres of forested land.
How do you call 5,000 acres small?
I think that's a Department of Revenue cutoff.
But part of that, though, is that there are people that own more than 5,000 acres.
Certainly. And those would be our private industrial landowners. We have many local companies there. And then our federal landowners. We also have tribal and county state lands, all of those that own well above that 5,000 acre mark. And those are all certainly groups that we work with as well, just in different capacities.
Now, talk about, I know you've got a couple things coming up.
Yes. So one of the things that we have coming up is really fun and exciting. Not a lot of people probably know that you can tap our local big leaf maple tree and make syrup out of it. Most people think that that's an Eastern United States niche market, but it is coming. Well, it has. It has arrived in the Pacific Northwest. And so we're going to be offering a class called Untapped Potential, Exploring the Future of Big Leaf Maple Syrup on June 26th. And we're going to be sharing with folks about this emerging industry and seeing if anybody here in Douglas County might be interested in tapping maples on their own land.
How has this kind of evolved to include this area?
Well, a lot of work has been done in the Pacific Northwest looking at tapping big leaf maples, particularly in Washington State and then in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And a researcher out of Oregon State University has a grant program where he is looking to expand our knowledge of where tapping potential exists in Oregon. And that means bringing it south. So following the range of big leaf maple, which extends well down into southern Oregon, following that range and seeing, are there places in Douglas County that are great candidate sites for tapping big leaf maple for syrup?
Now, big leaf maple, I mean, the name probably explains, but is that the most common maple species?
Yes. So we actually have 3 different species of maple in Oregon. Big leaf maple is the large, beautiful tree that you see that has a up to 12-inch diameter leaf with a very long stalk. It overhangs a lot of our creeks. That is the classic maple that we see in our forests. But there's also a smaller species that's more shrub-like in form called vine maple. That turns a brilliant red, yellow, orange color in the fall. And then there's another species of maple that occurs in eastern Oregon called Rocky Mountain maple, which is similar to that vine maple. But when we're talking about tapping for maple sap to make syrup from, we're looking at big leaf maple in particular.
And this isn't something that if you just happen to have a maple tree in your backyard that you could do, is it?
Well, you certainly could. So any soft deciduous tree like a maple or alder or I'm escaping another one, walnut. That was one I was looking for. Any wood like that, that's a hardwood tree, but it has a softer wood, it can be a candidate for tapping. What you're looking for with this tapping is that you want to have a freeze-thaw cycle that happens in the winter months. And so that's why we're exploring different areas of the county to see where that freeze-thaw cycle might be most prevalent, because that's associated with sap flow. And when you tap a tree, you're actually intercepting that sap flowing through the tree to collect it, to boil it into syrup. And so if you have a tree species that meets those qualifications, you can certainly try tapping it.
So you've got this event coming up.
Yes. So this Untapped Potential class is going to be on June 26th at the Master Gardener Discovery Garden, which is out just outside of River Forks Park. And that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And it's a free community workshop. So we're going to be just talking about this maple syrup production, what it can look like, seeing if folks are interested. And we're going to have maple syrup tastings. This is something that should be pretty fun. The next day, on the 27th, we are offering free site visits to interested landowners who might want to start tapping maples on their property. And if that's something you're interested in, we ask that you sign up in advance through the Douglas County Extension Office.
And I see you've got another thing coming up here, too.
Yes. So the Master Woodland Manager Program is a local volunteer program through the Forestry Extension in Douglas County. And through this class, it's kind of a higher level course for those interested in trees and forests who want to learn more about forest management and then have the opportunity to share the knowledge that they gain with others. And that's that volunteer give back piece, is that you're going to then share your new knowledge with other folks. This is a class that's a hybrid course, and so folks will be doing some online work in between class sessions. The class runs June 30th to December 10th, and during that four months time frame, we're actually going to meet in person only 8 times. So every 2 to 3 weeks we meet in person, and we have field days where we go out and we actually dive deep and see on the ground the different topics that you're learning about in between each class online.
And so how do people get signed up for that?
You can call the Douglas County Extension Office to be provided with the application link, or you can just go to our website. We ask that folks fill out an application if you're interested in this, and then we'll get back to you with a link to register.
Very good. Logan, let's bring you back in here for the final couple minutes, because I know you've got a couple of other things coming up as well that you wanted to let folks know about. Looks like one of them is beekeeping.
Yeah, so similar to the veterans class that we have for farming, we have a bee basics class. This is also geared towards veterans. And this is a 3-part series in June, July, and August. And it's like the vegetable production program. This is a hands-on workshop or series. So folks will actually be working with live beehives and learning how to keep bees.
And that seems to be increasingly popular around here.
Yeah, we have a really great beekeepers association here in the county, and it's kind of brought a lot of vibrancy to beekeeping here in the county.
And how do people get signed up for this?
This one is similar. Just give us a call or check out our website, and we can get you signed up.
And a chicken processing class.
Yeah, so every couple of years we do something where we teach folks how to process chickens under the 1,000 bird exemption and the open air slaughter facility exemptions of Oregon.
So what is the 1,000 bird exemption for people trying to figure that out at home?
Great question. So if you're producing chickens to sell as meat, you can sell up to 1,000 birds, sort of like farm direct, through your own property.
And how common is that around here?
Relatively common. We've got quite a few people doing it in the county. And so that's part of the reason we're doing this class, is to show folks how to do it legally, safely, and efficiently.
And there's things I would imagine that you can get in hot water if you, even if you have good intentions, if you aren't following the rules.
Absolutely. There's quite a law book around this particular exemption. And so there's a correct way to do it, and we want to help show folks how to do that.
And how to get connected to that class.
Yeah, so this one is similar. You can sign up on our website. It's $35, and participants that sign up for this actually leave with a processed bird.
And so you're going to be really taking them through everything.
Yes, this is a hands-on class. So know that before you sign up, we will be actually slaughtering, butchering, and preparing chickens.
They don't just come from the store.
No, they don't.
All right. Wrapping up here in just a second. So much going on with Extension. Give people your website and contact information so they can see all the different things that are happening.
Absolutely. So if you want to get a hold of me, my number is 541-236-3015. Or search Douglas County Extension on Google. We're the first result that pops up. And we have an events page that shows everything that's happening. We got a lot going on this summer.
All right. Logan Bennett, Leisha Christensen from the Oregon State University Extension Service. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.